Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now? With the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, need a new playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an amazing Messianic Jew rabbi talks about Israel and replacement theology. And then Larry Elder talks about his new book, As Goes California, and refutes some of the racial lies of the left. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We've spent a fair amount of time talking about how Israel is dividing the left and the Democrats. I mentioned this briefly with the great Candace Owens yesterday, and you should check out our conversation, by the way, with Candace Owens. And I said, Israel is also dividing the right. I could go through many different examples of this. Tucker Carlson is being called an anti-Semite in the New York Post. Candace Owens is being called to resign by Ben Shapiro. I have been attacked as an anti-Semite. And still this morning, a great rabbi came out and defended me, to his great credit. I really appreciate it. I'll read the tweet where he says, I'm a great friend of the Jewish people, and I appreciate that. So I want to focus on that. How Israel is dividing the right. I think it's breaking the left. I think it's a much bigger issue on the left, much bigger. They're going after the DNC. They're primarying people on the squad, but it's still an issue on the right. Joining us now is Rabbi Jason Sobel, author of FusionGlobal.org. Rabbi, thank you so much for taking the time. First, introduce yourself and you know what you do and what you believe.
Yeah, shalom. It's great to be here with you. And just before I even share that, I want to thank you personally as a Jewish follower of Jesus, as a rabbi, of someone who has lost family in the Holocaust. I appreciate your stand with Israel. I'm an author. I've written a number of books with Kathy Lee Gifford called The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi, Signs and Secrets of the Messiah, part of the Chosen TV series as a spiritual advisor. But part of our passion is to connect the old and new Gentile and Jew. I am Jewish, raised Jewish, but I am a Messianic Jew, a follower of Jesus.
Well, praise God. Thank you. And I want to have you on at a separate time to talk about that, because I think that's amazing. And praise God. So, Rabbi, you're looking at this, I'm sure, on social media. You're seeing how it's dividing the right. It's dividing Christian circles. Ben Shapiro got very upset that Candace Owens tweeted a Bible verse, and he responded unfavorably towards that. What's going on here, Rabbi? You have a unique perspective. Being a Messianic Jew, you understand this situation, I think, better than most. How do you view this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the reality is that the Jewish community is very sensitive at the moment. They feel under attack. They feel under siege because of so much attack on the left. I mean, even stuff that I have gotten on social media to supporting Israel. So I think that sometimes there is an overreaction to even some of our friends like yourself when it comes to these matters. There's a hypersensitivity at times, which sometimes can be unfortunate.
So what is your advice then of how we heal this? How can we be America first while also supporting Israel, our ally in the Middle East?
I think that's a great question. I think the first thing we need to understand is that it's important to stand with Israel like you have, because, you know, we are a nation that's based on Judeo-Christian values. It's the old and the new. And once you attack those values, you undermine the very foundation, which is what's going on. But I think there's something more. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says this, you know, Jesus taught us to these words. He said, we need to pray for those who persecute us, and we need to love those who even hate us and bless those who curse us. And I think there is a responsibility to show love and grace and pray to the other side, for the other side. And I think we need to be able to ask the tough questions without getting offended. So I think there has to come in that spirit and that attitude, which is, I think, really significant. And we have to look to bridge the divide and look at what unites us and not what separates us.
Yeah. And so let's talk about this, because the bond that Christians and Jews have together is beyond deep. I mean, the Old Testament canon of Christianity is the Tanakh. It is the divine word of God, and it is a shared story. Talk about this, especially as we're in a time where, you know, radical Islamist and radical Marxist forces are coming after the values of the Torah, the values of Western society, the values of Christianity. Talk about how we have to focus on what unites us against people that we share nothing in common.
Absolutely. A house divided can't stand. And one of the reasons why there is this desire to separate Jews and Christians is that because when Jews and Christians unite, we become an unstoppable force for global change and transformation in the world. And part of what people need to understand is that we're trying to come up with political solutions to a spiritual problem, and you can't solve a spiritual problem with political solutions. So the key is for Jews and Gentiles to unite, understanding the fact that what brings the radical left to unite with Islamism, which is crazy because they are antithetical to everything the left stands for, everything our nation stands for, it's because they both hate the Judeo-Christian values and roots of our faith. And if we don't unite at this moment in time, what's going to be lost is more than Israel. It's going to be everything our nation stands for, because if they'll bring it here.
So, Rabbi, explain to our audience that might not be as educated or aware, how would you summarize Judeo-Christian values?
Yeah, I would summarize Judeo-Christian values as those biblical values rooted in the Ten Commandments, rooted in the exhortations of the prophets for morality and justice, also built on the teaching of Jesus and the New Testament, that really laid the foundation of Western civilization and everything we know. So, for example, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That is not a doctrine found in Islam. That is a doctrine found from the book of Genesis, where God says he made us in his image, and therefore it is wrong to murder and kill because we're actually damaging God and his image within us. So these Western values of democracy, of freedom, of morality that our nation has been founded on, what has made us great, is rooted in the Old and New Testament, those Judeo-Christian values which gave birth to the Enlightenment and so many of the great things of Western civilization. And I think it's important to also understand that America has been Israel's greatest friend, which we're so grateful for. But I also think there's a promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis 12, where God says he will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And I believe one of the reasons why America has been blessed is because they have been a blessing to Israel.
That is said repeatedly. It's in Genesis 12:3. One of the first things that is said is that if you bless Israel, you will be blessed. And if you curse, you'll be cursed. It's also repeated more explicitly in the book of Numbers as well. Rabbi, how can people follow you, your work, your books?
Yeah, Rabbi Jason Sobel on any social media, fusionglobal.org. And we have a new book called Signs and Secrets of the Messiah, A Fresh Look at the Miracles of Jesus.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So, Rabbi, I want to ask you two questions. The first of which, why is Israel in America's interest? We get this question frequently. A lot of people are war weary. They are America first. How would you answer that question, Rabbi?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first, we should put America first as a priority. I mean, again, I'm grateful to the United States and everything that it's done for my family, for Israel. But I also think we have to understand a couple of things. One is approaching it from a spiritual perspective. In the Bible, if we believe the Bible, if we think it's foundational to who we are as a nation and our values, as you mentioned before, God made promises of the land of Israel to the Jewish people. In fact, Jesus was a Jew. He is still a Jew. He is the King of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. It all began in Israel. It is all going to end in Israel. And of course, it is going to be the center of the conflict because the scriptures has been clear from the very beginning. So I think spiritually, from a biblical perspective, it's very important. You can't be pro the Bible and anti-Israel when the Bible is very clear that Israel are the owners of the land and not the occupiers, according to some of the things that we're hearing out there from the other side. I think so spiritually, it's very significant. As we mentioned, there's a blessing for those who bless Israel. But I also think there's something else. You know, I think the United States and Israel is inextricably linked in the thoughts of the Islamists in the Arab world. There is radical Islam on the rise. And I believe radical Islam is a major threat to our nation, to the world, nations like Iran and others that surround them. And Israel is a beacon of light and a line of first defense against those nations. They call Israel the little Satan and America the great Satan. So I think even from the perspective of defense, from the perspective of God's blessing and God's promises, from the perspective of the future of what's going to happen, from the perspective of, listen, I go to Israel a lot. We do a lot of tours to Israel. Christian and Muslim background believers in the Palestinian territories are persecuted for their faith and can't even go to Manger Square on Christmas because of the fact that you have these radical Muslims that attack them. If we don't care about Israel, the history and legacy of Christianity will be lost and eradicated, and we will lose the historical, archaeological proof and evidence for the Bible.
That's
and
right.
Christians
that
will be
argument.
Massacred right. as a result of it.
That is 100% the strongest argument. Let me ask you, this is a theological question. Yeah. Some of the disagreement amongst Christian circles comes down to this idea of replacement theology, which is that when Israel is mentioned, the church actually becomes New Israel. This was mainline church doctrine for hundreds of years, and it is no longer in most evangelical circles. Where do you fall on that? What do you think the scriptures say about this idea of replacement theology? Did the church replace Israel as we read the scriptures?
I think it's absolutely incorrect. I think the Gentile followers of Jesus become partakers of God's promises to Israel through Abraham, but not overtakers of those promises. And I think Paul makes this case in Romans 9, 10, and 11. Romans 9, he talks about Israel's past riches. Romans 10, he talks about their present unbelief. He says, Paul says, I wish I could be cut off for their salvation. And Romans 11, Paul lays out the greatest proof that God is not done with Israel. He says, I am a believer in Jesus. There's always been a remnant of Jews who have believed. In the days of Elijah, he thought he was the only one. He says, and ultimately, one day, all Israel will be saved in the end. And then he even says, they are enemies for the sake of the Gospels, but they are beloved for the sake of the patriarchs. And he recognized that even when they don't believe, they're still a promise because of the covenant God made. And all the first disciples, all the first apostles were Jewish. I'm Jewish. I follow Jesus. And it's an example that God still has promises and will keep them. Even in their unbelief, God still has promises to Israel that will ultimately be fulfilled.
Rabbi Jason Sobel, excellent work. Thank you so much. God bless you. And Shabbat Shalom, Baruch Hashem.
Shabbat Shalom, Tadala El. It's great being with you. May God give you Rav Brachot, many blessings.
Thank you. May God keep you, it says in number 6. Thank you. Herzog Foundation. For years, I've been talking about our nation's public schools and how they've been captured by progressive ideologues, teaching things that directly contradict the values of American families. That's especially true if you are a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to a Christian education. They have an online publication called The Lion to their new podcast, Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for their kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. That's HerzogFoundation.com. Joining us now is a good friend of mine and great patriot, Larry Elder. As Goes California is his new book. I love this topic. I have a heart for California, and I have a theory about it. We'll talk about it. My mission to rescue the Golden State and save the nation. Larry, welcome back. I miss you on radio, but I'm glad this is where you are spending your time. Tell us about your book.
Well, as you know, California is a magnificent state geographically, all four seasons. You can go skiing and surfing in the same day. But the left-wing, one-party politics state is doing the best it can to drive people out. For the first time in the state's 170-year history, Charlie, 700,000 people have left in the last couple of years. Crime, homelessness, schools are near the bottom. And the number one reason that people cite for leaving California is they cannot afford the price of a home. Average price of a home in California, as I point out in my book, As Goes California, 175% above the national average. Why? Because the Democrats are in bed with the environmentalists, and the environmentalists don't want anything built. There's a law called the California Environmental Quality Act that pretty much allows anybody to stop anything for any reason. Unions file lawsuits to stop developers from developing until they employ union labor, which means the cost is higher. NIMBYism people file because they're NIMBYists. And the environmentalists file because they don't want any land spoiled other than the land that they live on. So what's going on in California is we've had a domination of Democrats for decades. Supermajority of Democrats in the Senate, supermajority of Democrats at the Assembly. So Republicans need not even show up for work. Charlie, there hasn't been a statewide Republican elected in California in over 20 years. As you know, I tried in 2021 during the recall election, lost it by about 20 points, assuming the election was fair. This is what's going on in this state. Gavin Newsom wants to be president, I point out in my book. If you think about it, name the policy that Joe Biden has enacted, whether it's the debt forgiveness, whether it's the trillions of dollars of spending, whether it's a pullout of Afghanistan, whether it's open borders, name the policy that Gavin Newsom has objected to. He hasn't objected to anything. In fact, he effusively praised the way Joe Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. So assuming somehow, some way, it's not going to happen, that we were to swap out Joe Biden for Gavin Newsom, what makes you think the country would be any better off as far as the borders are concerned, foreign policy is concerned? He's a more extremist than Joe Biden is regarding climate change. He wants to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars in California by 2035. And 2 days, by the way, after he issued that edict, he then issued an energy alert telling the 2.9% of people that do have EVs in California not to charge them during peak hours because it taxes the energy grid. This is what's going on in the great state of California.
What people frequently say, Larry, and they live in the Golden State, is, but what's the point? I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to Reno. I'm going to Coeur d'Alene. What is your case for why people should stay and fight? They feel as if it's an unwinnable battle. It's a one-party state. Larry Elder, your response.
Well, the good news is that Gavin Newsom has never had lower poll numbers. It just came out a few days ago. These are the worst numbers he's ever had. And the two reasons that people cite, crime and homelessness. California has around 12 or 13% of the nation's population, but about 30% of the homeless. In the last few years, crime has gone up depending upon the category, depending upon the city, while arrests have gone down because of the soft on crime policies that people like Gavin Newsom has pushed. Now, the reason I mentioned the poll numbers is maybe, just maybe, Charlie, people are beginning to wake up. Black third graders in California, 75% can neither read nor do math at grade level because of the way Gavin Newsom shut down California in a more draconian way than any of the other states. Inner city kids have lost 2 years of in-school education. They've already been behind. That's going to translate into learning loss over their lives. And this is the kind of stuff that's going on in California. Gavin Newsom set up a panel for reparations. He has signed a bill that mandates, I'm not kidding you, that every publicly held corporation in California, depending upon its size, has to have a member of the LGBTQIA+ on its board of directors. This is what's going on in this state, and people are beginning to wake up. Here's what often happens, though, Charlie. You got people leaving to some of the states that you just now mentioned, and they know they can't afford the price of a house, but they haven't connected the dots to the left-wing policies that have been killing housing units in California. We have the worst per capita housing rate of all the 49 states. We're 49th in terms of housing units per capita in America. Only one state is worse than we are. We're probably down about 3 or 4 million units that we otherwise would have if California were a rational state. So people leave and they don't connect the dots between the policies that they've been voting for and why they left California. So they go to Florida, they go to Texas, they go to Washington State, they go to Arizona, and they vote the same way they voted, which is why they left in the first place. My book connects the dots. So at least when you leave California, you know why you left California and you won't bring the same left-wing vote that you enacted when you were here in California.
As goes California, my mission to rescue the Golden State and save the nation. You know, Larry, the picture of California being a liberal state is true, but I will say, having traveled the country and spent a lot of time, the second most state I spend time in is California, Phoenix, you know, Arizona being one. And I have to say, there are still a lot of patriots in California. There is a remnant in California that is unprecedented. It is unparalleled in the whole country. It's different than the remnant in the Northeast. It is different than the remnant in Minnesota. Talk about that, Larry. It might only be 40%, but it is a fighting 40%.
It is. I traveled up and down the state when I ran for governor in 2021, Charlie, and you ride through California. In the middle of the state, all of a sudden, you see Trump signs everywhere. You take away San Francisco, take away L.A. and parts of San Diego, and California is actually quite normal. There are rational people. This is a big agriculture state. Used to be a big oil and gas state. All 10 of the major oil and gas companies used to be headquartered here in California. We still do a lot of oil and gas work here in California. But there are a lot of rational, normal people who are fed up. When I ran for governor, I was drawing, according to security detail, Trump-like size crowds. I raised $27 million in around 8 weeks. People really thought for a while that something might very well happen. The recall was in the margin of error for a while. And then in comes Joe Biden, in comes Kamala Harris, in comes Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and they all said the same thing. Nobody said Gavin Newsom is doing a great job in the way he shut down the state in a more severe way than anybody else. Gavin Newsom is doing a great job on crime, on schools. They all said, wait for it, stop the Republican takeover. Because Californians have been indoctrinated to believe no matter how bad things are, definitely Republicans would be worse. And that prevailed here in California.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's liberal politically, but it's not as left-wing as people think. Now, mind you, I'm not recommending any sort of policy change, but if you were to just remove San Francisco and L.A., the country's the state is a right-wing state. Now, again, those are big centers. So let me – one of the things that just infuriated me recently, Larry, is this cut. I want to find this here. It's Mr. Mussolini, who, again, I think you did a mitzvah for the entire movement, Larry. You got under his skin. You made him spend $100 million. You did wonderful.
200.
Listen to this.
$200
million, even better. And that was pre-inflation dollars. Gavin Newsom bragging that we can clean up the streets. It's true because it's true. This is so insulting. Yeah, I mean, Xi Jinping comes, we can clean up the streets. They can do it if they want. Vagrancy, homelessness, defecation, and crime is a choice. Let me say that again. They are making a choice. Play cut six.
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true. But it's also true, for months and months and months prior to AIPAC, we've been having different conversations.
One of my least favorite things they say, well, you know, we need to have conversations. Larry Elder, respond to Mussolini.
Well, you heard him say that it is true that we're cleaning up because the premier, the dictator from China is here, which means when all they've been talking about, the inability to figure out how to handle this problem, they can solve it if they choose to. One of the reasons we have this problem is that Gavin Newsom in 2011 said, come on down to California. If you're homeless, come on. If you don't have any resources, come on. Don't have any human capital, come on. We're the golden state, come on to California. Come on down. So he is in part why we have the problem. He was the mayor of San Francisco, Charlie, for two terms. And he said by the end of his second term, he was going to solve the homeless problem in the Bay Area. Have you been there recently? He spent 8 years as lieutenant governor of California and sat around pounding the table saying he had nothing to do. And I said, how about going back to San Francisco and completing the job on homelessness that you promised? This is a guy that can do something about this. When I ran for governor, I consulted with Dr. Ben Carson, Trump's HUD secretary. And he said that he and the mayor of L.A., a Democrat, had already agreed on a plan. Because California, the federal government is the largest landowner in California, as it is, I think, in almost every state. And there were large areas of land where low-cost housing could be built because they wouldn't be subjected to the rules and regulations of local California laws. And they would have had this problem solved. And when Donald Trump did not get reelected, Dr. Carson said the whole thing dead stopped in its tracks. But this can be solved. If the will is there, it can be solved.
And that's what's so frustrating. He's acknowledging, yeah, we could do it. Of course we can. We just don't want to.
I ran into a guy just the other day, right before the dictator from China came. He is a owner of a large company in California that makes and installs fences and gates. He was hired by San Francisco to install fencing around this homeless area. And I asked him what happened to the homeless people. He said, I have no idea. Wasn't my job to relocate it. Was my job just to put up the fencing. And he said that the fencing job should have cost the taxpayers $200,000. But because they're forcing them to use union labor and a bunch of other unnecessary rules and regulations, this guy said the job cost the taxpayers in California $5 million. That's why the homeless problem has not been solved. Whenever they build a unit substantially higher than it would be if the private sector were doing it on non-expensive land.
I think this is the right cut, guys, isn't it? Larry, I want you to respond. So, you know, I got this boomer Marxist that asked me questions at UCLA all about race. And there is no one better than Larry Elder to respond. So I want you to listen to this old fool, and then I want you to respond, because I know you've heard all this stuff before. It starts with my question, but then he asks his question. So just listen carefully to this boomer Marxist. Play cut 139. All right, you guys want to talk about that? Why don't you go to the one thing that could actually solve black poverty that works in the Asian community, in the Jewish community, in the Vietnamese community, every community, which is dads stay around.
I think that you're pointing to the wrong cause of that in many cases.
What is the cause?
I believe that there's systemic racism in the society that causes some of it. Not all of it. Okay. I'll give you an example.
What can I do that a black person can't do?
Okay. When an African American defendant comes in front of a judge, they are less likely to be able to plead down their case from a felony to a misdemeanor.
Larry Elder, your response.
I don't know where you start with that. The breakdown of the family, particularly in the black community, is an absolute horror show. It's one of the reasons I ran for president. I told Donald Trump, that a black male aged 10 to 43 is 13 times more likely to be murdered than a white male, same demo. He was shocked by that. He said, what's your source? I said, Center for Disease Control. Have you heard of it? He started laughing. 70% of black kids today enter the world without a father in the home, married to the mother, up from 25% back in 1965. Now 25% of white kids enter the world without a father in the home, married to the mother. And the stats are clear. Even Barack Obama once quoted them. A kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. What's happened? Lyndon Johnson, a Democrat, in the mid-60s launched a so-called war on poverty. And since then, we have incentivized women to marry the government and incentivized men to abandon their moral and financial responsibility. Now, 40% of all kids in America enter the world without a father in the home, married to the mother. And nobody wants to talk about it. When they do, they talk about systemic racism. Let's talk about that. 1940, 87% of blacks lived under the poverty line. 1940, of course, Jim Crow, before Brown versus Board of Education, before the Civil Rights Act, before any of that stuff. America was clearly far more racist then than it is right now. Fast forward, Charlie, 20 years later, 1960, that number had fallen to 47%. A 40-point reduction in poverty in 20 years, the greatest 20-year period of economic expansion in the history of blacks in America. Why? Because it was rare for a kid to be born without a father in the home married to the mother. An embracement of Judeo-Christian values, a belief in patriotism, even as America was not applying those values, and a strong belief in entrepreneurship, all of which right now are under assault by organizations like Black Lives Matter. On their website, they attack the nuclear family. The founders are self-described trained Marxists. Marx was an atheist who wanted to dethrone God, who hated capitalism. And obviously, they're not in favor of American patriotic values. 80% of black people support Black Lives Matter. So the very things that allow black people to continue moving forward in the face of horrific, hideous racism are now all under attack right now by organizations like Black Lives Matter. And you get some guy like Joe Biden. I used to say that Louis Farrakhan and Al Sharpton, Charlie, were the biggest race hustlers in America. It is now Joe Biden. He goes to Howard University, says to these kids who are graduating, the number one cause of problems for the homeland is white supremacy. Are you kidding me? The Anti-Defamation League keeps track of how many people are killed every year by political extremists. Last year, they're around 20 or 25 out of the 20,000 people that were homicide victims. You want to play that game? Most homicide, Charlie, is same race homicide. Most whites who are killed are killed by other whites. Most blacks who are killed are killed by other blacks. However, every year out of the 20,000 some odd homicides, there are 750 black-white homicides. 500 white people killed by blacks, even though blacks are just 13% of the population. 250 blacks are killed by whites, even though whites are 60% of the population. Now, that's homicide. Look at violent non-homicide crime between blacks and whites. Every year, roughly 600,000 such instances. 85 to 90% black perp, white victim, only 10 to 15% the other way around. Now, Donald Trump went to a university and said, number one threat to the homeland was black supremacy. You and I would both denounce him as a race hustler. God. But Biden does it. It is not a problem. Jacksonville, Florida, after Biden made the comment at Howard University, some white racist killed 3 black people. And Biden mentioned it and said, silence is, if you're silent right now, you're being complicit. 2 months earlier, black guy wastes 2 white guys. He doesn't know. Says he killed him because he was white. Biden did not say one word because it didn't drive the narrative.
Larry Elder, everybody, as goes California. That was special. We are going to clip that up and put it on social media. God bless you, my friend. Come on anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.